John Cougar, man. I think you gotta be an older guy to remember John Cougar and then John Cougar Mellencamp. Who remembers that old guy? Yeah, I do. I just read this last week that Meg Ryan married John Cougar. Yeah, Meg Ryan. I mean, she's been known to be a cougar, so is she like Cougar Cougar now? Like, what kind of name is that? You know, we're gonna talk today about this new series. I get to kick it off on authority. Respect my authority. We're going to talk about authority. And I know this is a topic that I'm gonna be in the minority on. I am. And I understand why I'm the minority, specifically the minority that authority is good. And if we understand God as an authority, that's actually a really good thing. Most of us would not agree with me on that, or if we agree with me intellectually, practically, we're not agreeing with that. And there, I just believe that if we slot ourselves under God, good things are gonna come to us and our life is just going to work. And that's what I wanna talk about today and get us started. Just pray before I go any further. God, I'm thankful for people who wanna be pushed. Everybody who is with us today at different sites or different locations all over the country, I'm thankful that we're up for seeing things in you that we might not have seen before. And I want to be able to communicate that, God. So help me to be helpful and in tune with where we all are today. Help me to be in alignment, most important, with your truth. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. You know, there's not many places in our culture today where we learn what it is to be under authority. There's not many places where that just takes place anymore. One of the very, very rare remaining places is in our military. When you're in the military, you have to listen to the drill sergeant. You have to understand people under authority. You have to take orders. And this is part of why our country is a free country, and we have so many of the blessings that we have today is because there was an authority structure in the military that enabled us to do things like win World War II and that sort of stuff. In fact, there's a lot of veterans in and around Crossroads that on this Veterans Day weekend, we'd be well served to thank. If you're a veteran anywhere in Crossroads, any side, would you just stand right now? Would you, if you're a veteran of any branch, would you just stand right now? That's right. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Man, see folks like that, and I wish I would have done the military. I really do. But I'll tell you what, even though I've not been in the military, I am thankful that I am in this thing called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is an authority structure. And there is a need to submit. Now, what does it mean to submit? That's another awful, awful word. Submission just means that you are sub to the mission. You understand what the mission of your life is to be. You understand the mission of God, and you sub yourself, you slot yourself underneath. That's, submission does not mean rolling over and having no brain. Submission does not mean allowing someone to flog you and abuse you just because they're in their home. That's not what it means. It means you become sub to the mission of God. There's God, there's the things he wants to do, and then there's me. Not like I have to find a God that just gets under me and does what I want him or her to do. In fact, this is why today, increasing percentages of Americans do not believe in the God of the Bible. If you go and you do a Google search, you search for authority, you find page after page of things related to religion, oftentimes specifically abuse of religion. You find scandals, you find people who have been burned by clergy, you find all kinds of things that none of us would want, and it's Google searched and keyed according to the word authority, because the people who are looking up authority in Google are really down on authority as it pertains to religion. Religion is a source of a lot of our hurt and angst around authority. The Pew Research Center that does polling stated this recently. 1/3 of Americans say they do not believe in the God of the Bible, 1/3, but that they do believe there is some other higher power or spiritual force in the universe. A slim majority of Americans, 56%, say they believe in God as described in the Bible, and 1 in 10 do not believe in any higher power or spiritual force. So we believe increasingly as a people that there is something that doesn't meet the eye. There's something that I can't necessarily test inside of a beaker. There's something out there. But fewer and fewer of us are willing to say, well, the God in the Bible, that's the God I want to go after, where more and more of us are up for spiritual force, higher power. I think, and I'd have us consider, that maybe that's because the idea of higher force or higher power is something I don't have to submit to. Maybe we're drawn to higher force, higher power, because it's an easier way for us to rule our life, us to make all of our own decisions, us to be a committee of one, us to be the ultimate authority in our life, while leaving possibility that there could be some X factor of spirituality that could come along and give me just a boost when I need it. Whereas the God of the Bible, maybe we're more and more souring on that God, because that God seems to have things like commandments, 10 of them specifically. That God seems to actually have a personality and actually get angry. That God actually seems to be personable, but not always at our beck and call. My thing for us in the series, man, I'm telling you, there's so many good things that have happened in my life that come directly because I recognize I had to get under the authority of God. I had to submit to God. I had to be sub to his mission. And when you do that and you honor other people who are leaders, other authorities, your life actually gets better. This is what the New Testament says. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 and following, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Interesting that the motive here is to have an advantage for you. Have an advantage for you. So if there's somebody who's trying to lead you, the more you and I complain about them, undermine their authority, moan about them, complain about them, the more stress they get, the more energy they have to expend dealing with cultural things or people who aren't happy with them, and the less energy they can expend to actually build the mission, which in turn will be a blessing to you. I have, there's six board members that we have here at Crossroads, and I'm one of them, and I am at the same time in submission to them. And I take this seriously. Like, I don't, when they have a decision that I don't like, and there are some, and I go along with it because we would do everything unanimous. But when I can sense that, okay, they're going, and I'm going to go there too, or when they have discussions when I'm not there, because some discussions are best to have if I'm not there, i.e., salary review, that kind of stuff. Whenever something comes around for me to hear and receive, I want to always be a blessing to them. I want them to always feel like I support them and I'm one of them, because when I do that, I get served better by them. When I do that, I'm submitting under authority. We all want some kind of good authority, don't we? How many of us are This Is Us fans? Any This or Us fans in here? This is us, yeah. Just kicking off again. And you know, the central character in This Is Us is Jack. And Jack is the ultimate authority figure. We're so drawn to this departed father because we want to be close to an authority figure like a father who loves us, who sacrifices us, who supports us, and who will tell us something when it's not going right. It actually has bite to him, and he'll actually lay down some authority, but it's the whole package of his love and his respect for his children and all of his words. We see these pictures, and it's beautiful. It just puts us over the top. And there's other pictures where maybe not so great. A number of years ago, my family and I, we went on a vacation or a camping trip out west. And the first time I'd taken the whole family out west. And as I took them out west, we were trying to get to our first campsite. And, well, we were, I guess we could say we were speeding. Yes, you know, there is such a thing. It's I think cops have an internal discussion. When they look at their radar gun, it says, 9, you're fine. 10, you're mine. So I was definitely over 10. We were my son and I were on our motorcycles, and the girls were on a rented Jeep, I believe. And so we were leading, and we're coming. Sirens come up. Woo, 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 woo. Cop comes over, pulls us over, and he says, you know why I pulled you over? Of course you always know. I mean, you always know. If I had any idea how to be a blessing to authority, whenever that happens, the first thing I would do is I would say, hey, I'm so sorry I made you pull me over because I know I was speeding. I'm really sorry. They would probably be shocked if someone ever said that to them versus, you know why I pulled you over? No, I have no idea, officer. Why did you? Oh, you were speeding. Really? Spide? I didn't know. Be shocking to be honest sometime. But he comes out and he pulls us off the bikes and he registration needs, all that kind of stuff. And he says, well, you know, and this guy is like classic. Like if there was a parody of what a cop would look like, this is him. He is, I'd say he's 55 years old and he is chiseled. He's got like no fat on his body. He's got a high and tight Marine haircut. He's got total pressed uniform with a crease in it. And he's got all the like contraptions and everything all on his belt and everything is like, he's got his book and he's just like, he's coiffed and he is manly and he is ready for it, right? So he said, well, if I give you this ticket, by Colorado law, you have to come all the way back out here to Colorado to stand court, and I doubt you're gonna do that, are you? And I said, no, actually, I would. This is where I kind of use my occupation to help me. No, I would actually. I'm a pastor, so if that's what the law is, then I would actually come out and do it, and I was serious, but I just made sure I put that pastor thing in there. So. Didn't faze him at all, not at all. But so he says this. He says, all right, I'm gonna give you one of two choices. I'm gonna give you a ticket, and I'll just quote him right now, or I'm gonna give you an ass chewing. Which would you like? I'm like, what? Excuse me, sir. I said, well, I'll give you a ticket, or I'm gonna rip you one like you've never heard before. And now, before I tell you, before you choose, I just let you know, I work at the state pen on the weekends and I've been known to make a grown man urinate themselves. which would you like? I'm thinking like, fine, come back to Denver. I look at my son, he looks at me and I go, we'll take the ass chewing. So he does this, exactly what he does. The whole time he has his sunglasses like up in his deal here as he's looking at his ticket. And then he does this, he goes, all right. What do you think? I had to rip you because of this. You're just such a little fat and he was going on and on. All right, go on with your day. It was hard for me to say it without saying any of the words. I already said ass chew. And I, seriously, like a profanity tirade that went on for a while, at least 2 minutes. That was an interesting authority. I'm not sure if that's a good authority or not. But I know this. We looked at him like, okay, he has the ability to... He has some control in this situation. I don't know what your situation is with authority. I don't know if it's a good authority figures, bad authority figures. Jesus had a classic interaction one time with somebody who was an authority figure and actually came into submission of Jesus, actually was sub to the mission of Jesus. Let's read the story. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 8 and following. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And if I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, no one in Israel, anywhere in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are heroes of the Jewish faith. "While the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. So we've got two different kingdoms at play here. We've got the kingdom of Rome, and then we've got the kingdom sort of Israel's history. And Jesus says, there's many people who are sort of in the Jewish kingdom and say all the right Jewish prayers, understand who Moses and Abraham, all these people. But many of these people who have the right religion, their heart isn't right, and they're gonna have an awful, awful eternity. And he says, over here, there's people in the Roman kingdom who we all know, or all believe as Jews, they were Jews who were subverted by the authority of Rome, who were like, by default, these people over here, if there's a hell, it's custom made for the Romans. Custom made for the ones who are subverting us and crushing us with their authority. And Jesus looks at this one Roman centurion and says, that guy in this Roman kingdom here, oh my goodness, he has an amazing eternal future ahead of him. Now what's going on here? We've got the centurion that is called a centurion because he oversees 100 men. So he's an authority inside of Rome with 100 men who are reporting up to him. And he is in need. He now, despite whatever health plan the Roman Empire has given him, despite whatever resource he has, there's somebody in his care that's sick. I think it's a really good insight for us. This guy is a Roman, he's a centurion, and he has a heart. What often happens is when we see somebody who is really an authority, we default to thinking that they're a jerk, they're selfish, they're all about themselves. And this Roman centurion was not that at all. He's looking out for his servant boy, trying to find him help anywhere he can find them. Submission means you are sub to the mission. This guy has a mission to be about his servant boy. He has a mission. Excuse me, distracted here. What was I saying? Submission, mission. I wish I had more mental faculties. I don't. Yes, there it is. I'm sorry. Call it middle-aged white guy syndrome. I don't know what it is, but there we go. Sub to the mission. This guy has a desire to do the right thing. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. Never seen such faith. Now see, faith isn't the belief in what is illogical. Many of us think that you gotta have faith means you gotta believe things that are stupid. You have to have an interpretation of certain Bible verses that some people believe, but definitely is not that. Or you've gotta just believe that no matter what, good things are gonna happen to you. Faith is oftentimes seen as illogical. Have faith that the earth is flat, even though that's illogical. Have faith that you're not gonna have any problems in your life if you just keep your fingers crossed and say nice things. And oftentimes we think this about faith. Faith isn't believing something that's illogical. Faith is doing something that's logical if you're under the authority of God. That's what faith is. You do something that's logical if you're under the authority of God. If you're not under the authority of God, it's something you're probably never going to do. A loving parent is an amazing authority, an amazing authority. And a loving parent tells their child what to do, or he or she should anyway. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous that we give young children the number of choices they have. Well, Johnny, would you like to go to bed now or an hour? No, tell Johnny, time to freaking go to bed now. Chop, chop. Well, you can have this now, or I can give it to you. At some point, we have to develop a choice in our kids, but oftentimes, loving parents, we misunderstand that we're there to be an authority, not a pal. We're there to be an authority, not a friend, and to actually help our children go forward, go to a new place. What being under authority brings for us is four things. Number one, it brings respite. When we're under authority, it brings rest. It brings protection. This is so odd for me to give a pro-authority message because I've not been pro-authority my whole life. I had a school teacher in fourth grade that just was abusive, emotionally abusive to me. And that was the first authority figure that really changed my life, actually changed my scholastic future, really did, was a school teacher that was abusive towards me, and we knew afterwards learned it had it in for boys, and she had it in for me, and really jacked my desire to learn. I was in Kentucky Fried Chicken one day and was there as a student pastor, and I had some junior high kids with me, and there was a cop that came in that day, and I don't know what I was, 21 or something like that. There's a cop who came in. I don't know what he heard. I don't know what he thought, but my gosh, he powered up on us like I had never experienced before. Just utterly power. And I said, no, I tried to ask him a question, and oh my goodness, I asked him a question. I thought I was going to jail. And I thought, what? No one was drinking? No one was anything? I didn't hear any inappropriate language. It was just a cop who saw some young kids and thought something bad was happening. I went down to the station the next day just to say, hey, just feedback here. Do you know this officer? Yada, yada. And it was stonewalled. I didn't understand that whole thing, but it was another example of not having a great example or interaction with an authority figure. I interact with people today who are coaches, high school coaches. I've been to so many practices or interact with coaches who are crossroads, coaching on different levels. And when I go to a high school practice, or even better yet, when I'm in a locker room, I am stunned at the level of verbal communication that happens. Utterly stunned. My whole high school career, we had an authority figure coach who would not talk to us, did not let us in on game plans, would not give us any encouragement, would not give us any enthusiasm. It was just like his way or the highway, and it was the highway. And when I go and I see these authority coaches actually talking with people and like telling stories, I'm like, wow, blows me away, because I always thought being a coach meant being an authority and meant being an ogre. But as I came into understanding who God is and being under his authority and the beauty of it, it helped me see things in an entirely new way. And it's brought me to embrace the responsibility and authority of leadership, even when I know many people I might be trying to lead think the worst of me because of their background, just like my previous background. We're getting ready to do a series in several months that we shot several months ago. It's a series on adventure, and the idea is the adventures you have in your life, we might think they're physical, taking a bike trip, climbing a mountain, going camping for the weekend. These are adventures, but really those physical adventures are just setting us up for the real adventures of life, like getting married, keeping a marriage together, starting a business, making layoffs in your current business in an honorable way. That's an adventure. Having your first kid, kicking an addiction. These are like real hardcore adventures that will totally sap you and stretch you, and they never end, right? Whereas these adventures over here, climb the mountain is done, right? So we had this idea to take a bunch of newbie riders out west, and we did that, and the project is going to be amazing. We right now are shopping it a variety of different places. It's gonna pop up someplace with a very wide distribution. What we're gonna do with that as well is take little snippets of it and put it into a series. So there's teaching, and then there's a snippet of this thing. And one of the things that really I realized on this trip is I was the trip boss. I was the trip boss of trying to get people who've never really been on a bike trip, and especially never been out west. I'm making decisions and I'm doing things to give them respite, but they didn't view it in the early time as respite. And by the way, all the people on this trip were all superstars. They were all great, but there was tension at the beginning around this thing of authority and understanding decisions I was making. And this is a little clip of it right here.
I'm a little conflicted. I know guys are getting pushed. I know guys aren't liking me sometimes with some of the decisions I'm making. But I'm making the decisions I'm making, and I'm doing the pushing I'm pushing because I'm pushing for the longer haul. I'm pretty certain at the end they'll be thankful for the push, and I want them to get to a new place. I'm kind of being looked at as a villain right now with some of these guys. I'm a little heartless or something like that. It's not fun being seen as, somewhat heartless. I'm trying to lead these people someplace, not just to Phantom Lake, but someplace in their life. I'm seeing some breakthroughs. That's what it looks like to lead. You're taking people where they don't want to go.
From this point out, I'm your contact. There's a destination where God wants to take you to. Not everyone here is going to get there. It will be the hardest riding you will have done in your life.
Patty's down. Oh, God. Patty's down. Oh, God. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Cliffhanger. I was trying to just get a respite for folks, try to get people to a new place. That's what authorities do. That's what God does. And that's what the centurion is doing. He's trying to get respite for his servant boy. The second thing that it does for us, that authority does for us, it gets us relationships. Gets us relationships. When we come under the authority of God, he's trying to graft us into a community. And relationships happen underneath authority. I learned of a judge that a juvenile court judge who has been using the book I wrote, The Five Marks of a Man, to give to juvenile offenders. And according to the public defender, what she says is she's never seen anything reach these young males like the content of that book. So I've been going around and just interacting with some of these folks. I posted a little snippet on my Twitter, my kind of social media feeds, and one guy was so heartbroken. hadn't seen anybody for 2 years. 2 years, no one had visited him. For 2 years, I was the first person to come and visit him in 2 years. As I talked to him, he was recounting for me how he's becoming a man and the concepts in the book Five Marks of a Man. It was so inspiring. As the public defender and I were talking, she said, "There's three things everyone in the juvenile system has in common. One, they have some sort of trauma in their life, an addiction, an abusive situation, a divorce of parents, a death of something. There's some kind of trauma. Two, there is a lack of supervision in their life." My words right now, authority, a lack of supervision. So they have no parents, or if they have a parent, the parent doesn't feel like they should ever tell their child what to do. There's no supervision. The child is just allowed to do whatever he wants. And he said, the third thing is they have no group they're a part of. In other words, they're not part of a group, and so therefore they have no relationships. So they're not like, I'm a football player and these are my people, or I'm a band member and these are my people, or I go to a church youth group and these are my people. There's nothing that says, this is who I am and these are the people I'm with. They're constantly loners. And these are the three things that happen. According to them, every person who's in the juvenile court system. Relationships are critical. They are key. And when we come under authority, we come into something where we can build relationship. When we come under the authority of God, we can come into a place like a church and we can hopefully kickstart some relationships that'll make a difference for us. Number three, resources. Resources. When we come under authority, there's new resources for us. The book of 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. There's a prayer here for it to go well with your soul, for it to be healthy. My wife is healthy right now. There was one of these illogical faith things I was talking about before that happened a year and a half or so ago. She had a stroke. And those of you around know, paralyzed half her body, couldn't speak. The blood cut off to half her brain. I mean, just done, 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 done. Illogical faith to believe you could come out of that. She did come out of that. She was playing tennis a week later when she came out of that. That's not illogical faith. That's a supernatural faith that brought a real bona fide miracle with that. She's doing great. We're doing great. While that was taking place, while that was happening, where she was in the back, and I was going through my Rolodex in my mind, all the people who I prayed for who had a stroke, who've asked for prayer for stroke, as I went through that Rolodex, every card that I pulled out was negative. Death, permanent paralysis, the memories of people I prayed for, permanent paralysis, you know, wheelchair, never-ending limp, those kind of things. And I thought, which one of these is gonna be my wife? And as I was pacing back and forth outside in the waiting area, I had a song in my earbuds. It was really popular a few years ago. I've actually asked the band to do it again at the end of today. We're gonna do this again today. The song is called King of My Heart. Let the King of My Heart basically rule inside of me. And as I was worshiping to that, I was saying to God, God, it doesn't matter what happens here. You're still my king. I'm trusting that as king, you're gonna bring health, you're gonna bring resources. I'm asking you to do that. I'm praying for that. Other people are praying for that. But at the same time, you're going to be king no matter what happens on the other end of that waiting room. You're going to be king in my life. I'm not going to falter and not be in submission to you simply because this doesn't go right. You've given us way too much. You've proved yourself faithful again. You are the king. I'm telling you what. Once you settle in your mind who is your king and you come under his authority, life goes a different direction. I'm telling you, there's a whole new level of health. There's a whole new level of resourcefulness that comes to you. There's a whole new place where you can go because there's a king who's shepherding you, who is the trail boss, who's been a place where you haven't been, who's trying to push you places. But you have to get under that trail boss. You have to submit. I can tell you, there's not a single place in my life where I'm not in submission to God. Now, I don't hear people say that because it maybe sounds like boasting. It's not boasting. I'm saying it because you can't say this. You can't say, there's not a single place in my life where I am out of the authority of God. Now, a lot of you don't like some of the things I do or say, but I'm telling you, God's good with it. He's just fine with it. There's not a single place in my life that God is not king. Now, every day, I'll do something, most days, that dishonor him and where I'm skirting out from under his authority, but then I can make it right and I ask forgiveness and I repent. It's a big, big word, repent. Just basically means when I'm out of his authority, I come back in and I make it right. And I tell you what, when you experience the resourcefulness, the relationship with God, the respite of being under his authority and saying, whatever you say, you're king, whatever you say about anything, you're king. And you taste that life, you will never go back. Never go back because it brings results. It brings results. This centurion had a predictable way to deal with problems. Go to the doctor, do whatever, but he realizes he can't get it done. And he says to Jesus, I don't even need you to show up because I understand authority. All you have to do, because you're king, think about this, as a guy who's under King Caesar, to say, you don't even have to show up, just say the word and he'll be healed. This is massive faith on him. And when he gets back home, and the rest of people's household say, this kid, he's good. When did this happen? He pieces together when he got healed and realizes that was the exact time when Jesus simply says, good, it's done. He just said it, just like he trusted, and it got happened, it done. It is results. I'm telling you right now, you can honor the authority of God. He's worthy of having his authority honored. He's able to handle his authority. And you and I can slot under and your life will be better. I'm telling you right now, your life will be better. Much of the pain that we have in our life is because we've slotted out from underneath the trail boss and we've tried to climb a mountain on our own. Much of our pain is that way. That's the worst kind of pain. For me, worst kind of pain is not random pain that comes its way and crushes me. I hate random pain too. Worst kind of pain is when I knew better and I just thought I could do better. I just don't listen to God. No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna go over here and do this instead. Now, the Bible says, go straight to somebody who you have a problem with instead of gossiping about it. You're like, that's too hard. I'll just keep group thinking with people over here who don't like that person. Outside the authority. Bible says, trust and honor those in authority. No, I can't trust and honor until I verify that all the facts they have are right. No, I can't trust and honor that. Oh my gosh, tithe, 10%. Oh no, preacher's got some weird issue there. Now I've slept one out over here. Oh, pray for my enemies. Are you kidding me? Pray for my enemies? Maybe pray that they choke on a knife or something like that. I'm not gonna pray for my enemies. I'm gonna just kind of slot right over here. Oh my gosh, you mean actually care for the poor that I would see place in my account where I'm actually caring? No, government's doing that. No, I don't care about the poor. They take enough of my taxes. I'm just gonna kind of hit over here. All these things, I can keep going on and on and on and on. Are examples of saying, God, your authority, your ideas, not good enough. Because I know best. I'll take whatever nice love you want to trickle down on me. At the end of the day, I'm king. And I'm saying there is an amazing, amazing blessing when God is our king. This story is known as the story of the Roman centurion. It really should be the story of the amazing freaking boss is what it should be. We have an authority figure here who trusts authority because he is a good authority. He's fighting for a slave boy in his household. He's going to God. He's humbling himself. And in the end, there's a results orientation that comes his way. I just want the best for you. That's all I want. I don't really care if you remember any of this story. I don't care if we're gonna quibble about various tits and tats. I want the best for you. I'm telling you, there's a king. When we get outside of his kingdom, he's not honored and our life doesn't go the way it should go. And I want your life to go the right direction. And I want you to feel the blessings of it that I and a bunch of others do because he's a good king. Challenge for this week is this. I want you to find one person, I want you to take an authority test, an authority challenge. I want you to find one person, maybe it's in your group, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a leader or something, and when you say, open-ended question, I'm gonna do one thing. If you tell me one thing to do, I'm gonna do it. Anything it is. Maybe you've been thinking about it, tell me what it is right now. That would take guts. You could do that. Go to somebody and say, I'm gonna practice honoring authority. I'm gonna make you an authority right now for one thing. Tell me what I should, and open-ended, tell me what you think it should be. And I'll tell you, they're gonna be freaked out by that authority. They're not gonna like that authority. They're gonna go, whoa, what do you mean? I can't, whoa, I can't. They're not gonna want that authority. But when they realize you've given it to them, I can promise you that what they say is gonna be right. And it's an example of having your life go the right way by listening to an authority. That's my challenge for you this week. Let's pray right now, and then we're gonna sing that song I mentioned earlier, that God is the king of my heart. God, you are the king. You are ultimate. You are high and lifted up, and I want everything in my life to be in alignment with your word. Just say the word, God, and I'm going. Just say the word. I believe that. I'm excited about it, and I want more of us to trust you as trail boss, as king. Help us take this challenge seriously, and I pray we don't just do this challenge, but you'd unlock something for us spiritually. We would see something in ourselves and in you that we maybe hadn't seen before. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.